It can be hard to know if
hello,
you understood
this is
what
a
they
test.
were saying. Like
yeah,
some of
that's
the
true.
arm ones, I'll be like, do they mean like hold my foot?
Mm.
And then I remind myself that there's no right or wrong.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and then you're like in this conversation, you're going, wait, but it's actually really good to do them on your own sometimes, just for that reason, because you're really kind of, you don't have any choice but to experiment to the best of your ability,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have anybody who's going to tell you that you're on the track. So it's like both really can be frustrating, but it also can really be freeing.
Yeah.
So you can kind of learn to switch. But on occasion, I have just gotten completely flummoxed, which is a great word that we don't use enough. And I have pulled up, like I'll search for the name of the ATM, and sometimes people will have a little video. It doesn't happen very often that I do that, but on occasion, if I'm looking at one of Moshe's lessons. Yeah. Well, so Moshe used to record these lessons, and, you know, sometimes he thought he said one thing, but he said something different. And sometimes what he said, like, anyway, it just is a, and there's a debate going on. And he recorded it, you know, it was 45 minutes one afternoon in his office on his street, and, you know, who knows what he meant to say. or the recording is garbled, so somebody's, like, unable to translate this part. Okay, so close your eyes.
Okay.
Then the challenge too, when you're here and it's just you and me, the challenge is also to not do what you don't want to do.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, and one of the ways that you can play with that is to go slow enough that you can tell, and small enough that you can tell. And more like, you know, not so much with want, I guess, and not want, but like what's possible, what's available in this moment, and I'm working really with that and not worrying. Because, you know, half the time, so I watch and see what you're doing, but half the time my eyes are closed.
I've known that.
And part of that is because I'm really sensing so that I have a kinesthetic understanding of the lesson.
Yeah.
And I'm working to be with you, and so I'm in the lesson too.
Uh-huh.
And then it helps me to elicit what you can look for.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so by the end of my teaching you a lesson, I've actually had a lesson.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So feel how it is to rest here today.
Is that what kinesthetic does? Or it's like just means through your body.
Through the body, yeah.
Through the body. But because you're sensing the lesson that you're speaking out, you're basically getting the lesson.
Yeah, because I'm sensing it. So have you been in one of the lessons where we imagine quite a bit?
Mm-hmm.
And you notice there's still change even from that?
Mm-hmm.
So in a way it's that, right? So it's a well-informed imagination. So instead of just being, you know, like thinking of the moves, I'm actually imagining them fully with all the senses and all the ways that I know that I have felt the lesson, all the possibilities that I know are available for the skeleton and for the way that we're built, because I'm, of course, not everything is available to me either. So there's like, it's like really well fleshed out imagination. And it's, there's a word, and I don't remember if I brought it up, but it's perceptive hindsight. So you're looking ahead, but you're doing it with everything you know from your past.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're improving it because you also know what's possible. So it's like this mix of actual reality and
yeah.
using that, and then also using your imagination.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I can extrapolate that into many domains.
You can,
cool.
yeah, and actually I'm teaching a workshop on the 1st of February using some of that in a envisioning and restorative yoga workshop.
Cool.
That's powerful stuff. So you have already been sensing, so let's bring into a little bit of movement with your lying just the way you are. And begin just to, with your eyes, very slowly and gently scan to the right and scan to the left. And in the process of doing that, listen for what other sensations arise. See if you can connect the movement of your eyes with something else. And then pause. So when you try that again, we're just resting. Also then notice what lets go when you stop. And then when you begin again, whenever you feel like it, and just to try, maybe just a couple times you scan. And feel what else turns on. Maybe there's some sensation deep inside your neck or throat, behind your head. Maybe there's some sensation down in your chest. Maybe there's a way that you breathe or don't breathe. Maybe there's something else. And then pause that. And as a reference movement, a way of sensing, and we'll come back at the end, roll your head gently to the right and see what it's like, see the quality of it, even if it's a millimeter. How far does it go easy? And then to the left. Sometimes it's like nothing, you know, it's like it's just not there right now, and that's okay. Then in that little spot where it does feel available and well organized, even if it's just the very beginning, just be really clear where it stops and stopping before it gets muddy, unclear, sticky. Even before that point, there's a place where you can even sense that you're starting to go into the zone where it's not so clear. Yeah.
Just imagining.
That's right. Yeah. I love it.
Locked up on it.
Well, and then, you know, in your imagination, you have the order that things go in. There's like a lot of ways that you can play with that. So, and maybe whether your eyes do or do not move when you think about rolling your head. So if you imagine rolling your head to the right and the left, what do your eyes do or not do? Yeah. And then stand your feet. And cross your right over your left. And you can keep your left foot where it is right now and do that, or you can shift your left foot a little bit more towards your center line. And begin to let your knees drop just a little bit to the right and then come back. And find a way to make that simple and easy. Do the amount of it that you can make pleasurable. And that might take a little while to remember all the other things that go along with the movement. Because when we first begin to organize, maybe we only see the hips. Maybe we only see the foot. So remembering you have ribs, and you have shoulders, and you have a spine. And all of those things can soften and allow. Maybe just one more. And then bring the palms of your hands together out in front of your heart, so toward the ceiling, arms straight. Yeah. And then find the place, like, for some people, it's higher up, so closer to your head. For some, it's down. So find the place where you feel the most at ease. Where is it? And then, yeah, where your arms can be straight, but you don't feel like it's a lot of effort. effort. And then imagine that you've got like some kind of glue and you stick it between your hands and then whack. Yeah. They stay together and your elbows stay straight. And begin to let your knees kind of stay where they are. And then your eyes, your nose, and your hands are connected. They're one piece. Hmm. And you can even, with your eyes closed, still imagine that you could see your hands. And begin to tip your hands, head, and heart, and eyes a little to the right, and then come to center. So it could be so small. In fact, maybe the first time, and you may already be doing this, maybe you imagine what it would look like. And for some, part of it is to reach the hands a little bit more toward the ceiling so the upper back gets a little rounder and it makes rolling easier. And there's a thought that one arm will get a little bit longer and one gets a little shorter. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be big. Yep. Your foot may be pressing down into the earth a little. And the breath will come and go. And the lovely thing is that it's in the space where you don't know how to organize that you learn the most. Yeah. And now pause. Leave your hands if they're comfortable with them there. And then close one eye. Your choice. Okay, so, and then open one eye. So obviously, so if you have both, well, it's one or the other, right? So if both eyes are closed and you're like, your eyes are right behind your arms. So it's like, pick. One eye's open, one eye's closed. And now that eye is your center line. Like that eye lines up with your hands. And imagine, yeah, that you can turn to the right with just that eye. So you turn with your hands and eye over to the right just a tiny bit. And then you come back to center, and then you find a way to do it and let your breath be simple so it's not a huge deal. Maybe if you want, you can let your knees go with you a little bit the next time. So if you want, you can let everything go a little bit to the right. It's super weird, yeah. So everything, it's like you're a rolling pin inside, and someone's rolling you. And then bring you back to center. Yeah. Nice. And then switch eyes that keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You might need a rest sooner, so yeah, you can do that. Remember, you have the power to rest. Good. Okay, now let everything go. So drop and rest. Mm-hmm. And then stand to your feet in the same leg. So still the right leg over left. I'm going to stick with the same side for a little while. And then, So let's see. I know what we'll do. So bring your knees a little bit to the right and find a place where you can let them hang. It doesn't have to be far, that's right, and you can adjust where your left foot is. It doesn't have to be. So you just find the place where you can kind of stay and you're comfortable, and it can be very small. Okay. And then lift your left shoulder from the ground. So it's the same as your standing foot. And then bring it down. You might exhale when you bring your shoulder up. And inhale as you bring it down to the earth. Yeah. And then maybe when you lift your shoulder, you can let your head turn to the right. So coordinate lifting of the shoulder, turning the head a little bit. It can be so small, remember, and then coming back. So coordinating. enter and pause. Okay, same idea, a little bit different. So, how you had your hands before, your palms together. So you can do something kind of like that, but it'll be a little different. maybe you reach your hands out, put your palms together, but then you're gonna take your right hand and find some place on your left arm. So maybe your left wrist or your left forearm. And the idea is that instead of lifting your shoulder, you're actually going to help yourself bring your left shoulder off the ground by pulling your arm toward the ceiling with your right hand. And so, yeah, does that make sense? Good. Yeah, that idea. And then rest down and see if you can soften through your hands as much as possible, at least the one that's not pulling. And then let your knees find the place where you can leave them to the right. So you just let them go a little. Yeah, so your belly begins to turn, even if it's just that internal sense that you know it does. It doesn't have to be far. And then bring your shoulder by pulling with your right arm. So your left arm doesn't do anything. And if you prefer to use your elbow to hold your elbow, you could try that. So you could bend your arm. So you can find wherever you need to hold that makes more sense. Yeah. You can even bend here if you want. And go from here. So like just find wherever, right? So you can do it this way. There's a lot of different places you can pull. And then your head goes to the right, so you're going with your shoulder. And you're breathing easy. And there's like something happens with your shoulder blade, something happens with your weight on the ground, with your ribs underneath you. Yeah. And then pause for a moment. You just drop your arms for a minute and stay crossed because we're going to do one more thing here.
I feel this kind of strain. Am I going too far?
Well, why don't you try with letting your legs fall a little to the right and see if there's anywhere else that you can also turn your abdomen and your ribs so that you're not just using this part of your leg. So go a little. Yeah, so this comes later, but first the legs. Yeah, first the legs, and then there's, see, there's all that. Feel how it pulls you, and yeah, then you can come back. So you can kind of pick a different place, and it may be that you're staying in one place too much. So you can pick a different place. You can even do it there. So actually, you want to stay there for a moment, and that'll lift your shoulder. Yeah. Sure. And you can come with it. You can go back. And then you can let your head go the other way. Oh, yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so you can try both ways, alternating. You can even let your legs come back up and go down. Yeah. Okay, uncross and rest. So oftentimes if you're feeling that really tight or like a lot of sensation in just the one place.
Uh-huh.
Just because. That sounded like a train whistle. It's just because the movement is only coming from that one spot. And when the movement only comes from that one place and doesn't get translated up, then that one place has to do everything.
Hmm. That'd be true, like just out walking.
Yeah, it can be. You know, it's like if you're walking and you get that one little spot is really achy. Yeah, or maybe there's. It's like the flow of the forces through you is stopping there in some way. And so finding a different way to align. Playing with how you're pushing through your feet on the ground. So roll to your side and stand. Go slow and take your time.
Roll to my side and then
stand up. And sense yourself in walking. So you have the whole room to yourself. You can walk on the mat, you can walk in circles.
This is an interesting lesson.
Yeah. Notice which way you got up and turned right away. You started by circling to the right.
Yeah, I did.
To the left and see which is easier, right or left.
And I rolled to my right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then maybe walk down into the other room so you have more space and you can feel how that is. Yeah. Turn him over. Michael brought me tea right before.
English tea?
Yes, it is actually. It's from Waitrose. The grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
Very good tea. Okay. And then rest down again.
Hello.
Yeah, it's just a little stop and sense. And it's the one-sided, you've had a one-sided lesson, right?
Yeah.
You feel how you rest down. Remembering kind of that whole vision of yourself, right? That even before you move, you know no movement is ever just one part, right? So even if I say, turn your nose to the right, well, your nose doesn't turn itself, so you can't really just do that. So there's a whole bunch of other things that will come to make your nose turn to the right. And so see what it's like to turn your nose to the right, like you roll your head. And what else participates in that? And even if it's just the beginning of the movement that you feel, what begins to turn?
Yeah.
And there might be an angle that's easier, right? So sometimes we think about turning to the right, but the way that our head is, we really kind of roll at a downward or an upward angle, and there might be a different way of doing it that's simpler or more clear. And then try rolling your head the other way and see what you find about that. That side seems a little bit more organized than in the beginning. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No matter how much.
It was more than the other side, for sure, in the beginning, but now it's also better than in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting, because we've been rolling the other way, so I'm curious to see what you learn as we go forward.
I know.
It's really interesting.
It happens on my right side as we do the left.
But it kind of makes sense that as you lie here, if you lift your left shoulder, it's the same as your head turning which direction. Ah, now you could coordinate those two things together, but if you leave your head still and you lift your shoulder, what's it like?
It's like gone.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. 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 Okay, and stand your feet.
Which, that's so weird, like, why, when you lift your shoulder, your head actually goes towards it?
Well, you can do either pattern, so you can do,
like, you don't have to, but that's the,
It's really cool, so
natural.
If you keep your head, yeah, it is in a way, because if you keep your head centered, like you're looking toward the horizon, and then you lifted your shoulder, that would be kind of like turning to the left. But then if you feel your collarbone connects into here, and so if you were going to turn to the right, this could also help. You turn to the right. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of like just whatever you want to do. It's like, what do you want to do? And that's, it's like, what's your intention? And then being really clear about what your intention is can help you organize your movement.
Yeah.
And cross your other leg. So it's left over right.
Yeah.
And see where you want to plant your right foot. And that's the other thing to look for. So if you find yourself crossing, if it's better for you to cross with your ankle, like you just find a way to cross. Sometimes too, where you put your standing foot will change where the work goes. So you can feel free to change, and you're always looking for a new, better, improved way to do what you're doing. And that improvement doesn't mean it needs to get bigger. You just are looking for the quality to be more satisfying, more easy, more kind. And so you get to change anything, absolutely anything, to make that happen. How you grip your foot on the ground. And see, let's just begin a few times taking your legs to the left and feeling how much of yourself you can include in that. And there's a rolling that's to the side, but it's not all to the side, so there's like some other things that happen. So find what direction your knees go. Do they go away from you at all? Do they go directly to the side? And then see if you can find the trajectory and the angle that makes sense for you, that feels good, and that helps you include your ribs, that helps you shift your weight to the left. And then when you want to, that's right, just keep shifting and changing. You can also coordinate your head to go with, and I think it already actually was, but you can really bring that into your consciousness. There's a when, there's a how, there's a trajectory. Yeah, it doesn't have to be big. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. There's like little experiments, forward and back.
Yeah.
That's right, because in those places where it's like, huh, that wasn't quite, then you find a new trajectory. Yeah, good. It's like, how do you find the trajectory to come back? Good. Uncross your legs and just be with your feet standing for a moment. Uncross your left over your right. And bring your hands out in front of your chest. And find the easy place on this side. Doesn't seem like it'd be different, but it is. Yeah. And then in any way that you wish, remember you line up eyes, nose, hands. And even though your eyes might be closed right now, you know where you're looking. And your intention is that you're looking through your hands, or even towards your hands. And begin to see how that changes what you're doing. So let yourself coordinate everything over to the left a little and then back. And because you're organized differently, go slow and small and just let it be an exploration. How do I do that? Which arm gets longer, which gets shorter? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's right. Nice. Less is more. That's right. And then at some point, close one eye and open the other. And
And then watch what happens and see how your eye moves around your center. Like you have a center line. How do you do that to turn your one eye to the left? And then at some point you try the other one and feel how it's different. It's like a totally different thing to turn your other eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little lot choppier.
Which one?
With the right open and the left.
Yeah. See if you can stay with the right a little bit and smooth it out. See if you can. The choppiness. It's really interesting. So then it can be affected by your breath and also by how hard you focus. So there's like a lot of different ways that you can play with improving. And it doesn't all have to be about the eye. You can just differently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big work. Yeah. Pause. Rest your hands. Rest your legs. Lie long. Working with the eyes is big work.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, but
I'm so exhausted.
I know.
Sideways.
Yeah, it's really lovely though too that the work, whether you feel like you know it's like your movement in your eye might still be like doot 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 doot. You can still feel an overall improvement just even by experiencing and paying attention to that, because your system will go, whoa.
Yeah, why do our eyes get so locked in? Is it just the same as the rest of our body?
Well, what do you feel when you turn your eyes? Where do you feel yourself engage? Like if you just roll your eyes to the right and the left, where do you feel that?
I mean,
it's
kind of weird.
Can you help
me all the way down here when I
do that? Yes! That's really great, by the way.
Normally, I'm like really aware
Yeah, normally, yeah, for you, you're really, so that, and that might be the sphenoid, the little butterfly, well, it's not little, butterfly-shaped bone in your head, so you may actually feel it there.
Yeah.
And the other place that people often feel it is in their jaw and in their neck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you don't have to look at me, so you can just listen, and that way you're more at ease. But when, if you think about the moment that we come into being out in the world, our eyes are how we organize to find food. Like we can't focus our eyes when we're born, so we have other senses too that help, the mouth, the nose. But our eyes, you know, once they begin, like we are working really hard with our eyes. So yeah, the movement of the body is organized to help orient the eyes. When we're standing, the way that you walk and you take a step is so that your eyes can stay kind of at horizon,
uh-huh.
and you can see clearly your direction, and that's how you organize your walk, is to organize your eyes to see. So, and even our thoughts, you know, thoughts don't happen without movement.
Have you said that before?
I don't know, but it's not mine. It comes from my teachers and it comes from my training.
Thoughts?
But it also comes from my experience. So if you think about, you know, like when you're thinking of something, your
yeah.
eyes tend to move.
Yeah.
There's also some kind of a movement within that happens. There's all these kinds of responses, and if we weren't moving, we wouldn't have any ability to think. You know, this is like why, you know, we are our bodies, right? We are. Yeah. So eyes, working with the eyes, you're working with a lot. So it is exhausting. And, you know, too, then if you wear glasses, and you've worn glasses, or if you have, you know, any issues around the eyes too, then it's even more, can be even more difficult, more challenging to work with the eyes. But it's such powerful work too. And there's one lesson that sometime I'll drive you insane with, where we'll just work with the eyes the entire time.
Oh, wow.
But you'll feel a difference through your whole system because it really does change everything. So stand your feet, bend your knees.
What did you say? I don't want to forget it. You can't have a thought without a movement.
Yeah. We think because we move. Who is the guy that said I think therefore I am, Descartes.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many problems with that statement.
And move, therefore I am.
Possibly. Possibly. It's a bit of a tangent, but I just say sitting alone in a room with, you know, is not the best way to find out. It sort of limits your palate. So cross your left over your right. And let your knees fall somewhere to the left. So you're following, you're letting the weight of the leg that's on top take you that way. Yep, that's right. Knees find the place where you can hang out. And one of the ways that you make that comfortable is by dropping the effort once you get there. So it doesn't have to be massive. It doesn't have to be all the way. And then with your breath going, begin to coordinate a lifting of your right shoulder with your exhale and an inhale, bringing your right shoulder back to the ground. And you can do whatever you want with your head. You don't even have to choose. You can just watch and see whether something naturally occurs as you lift your shoulder and place it down. And there's your ribs going underneath. There might be a weight shift a little bit more to your left. Mm-hmm. And then as you come back with your shoulder on the ground the next time, bring your knees back up and then let them go down as you bring your shoulder away from the ground. So everything will go to the left together. So your shoulder lifts, your knees go over, and then your shoulder comes back, your knees and head come back, and eyes come back. Everything together. Mm-hmm. And what happens in the center of you? Okay, and pause for a moment. And then think about how you might want to hold your right arm. So you could hold like this. You can look at me this time. You can kind of find a grasp around your elbow and go like that. You could go like this. You could go like that. You can go like that. You know, just play with how you might take your right arm and hold somewhere on your left wrist, forearm, shoulder, elbow, anything. And you begin to, as your knees fall to the left, to elongate your right arm so that you're elongating and you're assisting your right shoulder blade to slide around the wrist. Yep. Nice. Yep. And your knees get to go too. If you want. And then, I see you're playing with trajectory is a really good idea. Because there will be one. You're doing it, actually. Interesting. So there will be a trajectory and an angle that makes sense. Where you're like, that is easy. And there's many ways you can do it. But one will feel probably pretty good. Or maybe playing will feel good. Yeah, nice. And then at some point, you're going to notice your head is coordinating really nicely. And then you can begin to leave your head behind and even turn your gaze a little to the right as your shoulder comes up. Uh-huh. So feel what happens in the collarbone and the throat to do that. Oh yeah, there's a ton going on. So you can take a rest whenever you want and then you can come back.
That's good.
If you're not confused, you're not learning. Confusion is really good. It's a great way to change old habits. starts to get really confused. Because then you don't know how you did it before. And you don't know what you're going to do next either. And then you're like in it, in the process. Let's try something slightly different. Bend your knees and stand your feet. Bring your hands in front of your heart. With your arms kind of straight, yeah, got it. And then begin to, and this is really small. So you remember the feeling of when you were helping yourself by pulling your arm, that you can feel that sort of elongating of the arm out of your side body and the rolling around of your shoulder blade.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that, because it will help you with this.
Okay.
So tip your arms and your head and your heart, right, your whole A-frame that you've made a little bit to the right. Come back to the center and a little to the left. So one arm gets short and one arm gets long, and it doesn't happen because you bend the elbow, really. It just happens because it happens. So
yeah.
you can know that that's a possibility. You don't have to find it right away, but sometimes just the constraint is something that you have to work around, and it gives you it's like your challenge in your Sherlock Holmes mystery puzzle of the evening. And you're like, well, maybe if I press the middle of my back down on the earth, I can find a little more roundness.
Yeah.
And maybe that makes it easier. And softness through the abdomen might help, or a little bit of pressing into the right foot when I go to the left, and left foot when I go to the right could help.
Mm-hmm.
And then leave your head in the middle and let your arms continue. So now you're not locking your head, so your neck is free. You're just letting your head be lazy and not do anything. Mm-hmm. So when your hands go to one way, you can even think of looking with your eyes the other way. It's like you're looking behind your shoulder, kind of like when you're driving.
Uh-huh.
That kind of feeling. Yeah. You're like, what's back there? There's something really interesting. There might be chocolate back there. Could be a present for me. Okay, take a rest.
We've done something kind of like that before.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we certainly have. Yeah. There's some arm. Definitely.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm working so hard.
You are. Are you warm, Ina?
I'm a little bit chilly, but I don't think it's enough heat going on. I think it's just the...
Because you're in the parasympathetic state.
Yeah,
I'm still
exactly.
Turning up the heater. And although you're on the floor, that's, I don't know how much. Okay, we have a very strange thing next.
Not surprising.
And how you organize this is going to be really important. So you can kind of listen and then think about it a little before you actually do anything with it. And remember, the intention is never to be uncomfortable.
Okay.
I mean, you can be in a weird situation without, you know, as long as there's no pain, then you're good. So the idea is, and don't go there yet, just rest. Standing your feet in your imagination. So you have your feet in standing. And you'll lift your hips from the ground and bring your hand, preferably both hands, but maybe just one on the ground underneath your mid-back. And then you'll rest your hips down. It's a very odd thing to have anybody do. So now it could be just your hand. It could be both hands. It could be your whole forearm. Sometimes people find it's actually easier to place your entire forearm like behind your back and then rest down. Whatever you do, go slow and experimentally, so that when you bring your hips down, you go slow enough that you can sense how it feels in the shoulder. You need to soften as you go. So So see what you can do. See what's comfortable. And by ribs, I don't mean your high ribs. I mean like kind of like low around your waist.
Mm-hmm.
Or a little bit higher than your waist, maybe. So you find the place that works for you and that'll be perfect.
It's not supposed to hurt.
Definitely not.
And that's about as high as I can go.
Okay. And then, well, you can kind of tuck your arm. You can roll to your side to bring your arm under you too. And then, yeah, you're looking, it's going to feel super weird. You're looking to be behind your low ribs, so these are your, yeah.
It does feel.
Super weird? Okay, so feel that and breathe for a moment. Yeah, so what on earth was he thinking? I'll tell you in just a second. Yeah. So that's one way, and then the other way would be to have just your hand from your right and your left kind of meeting, so that would look like. That's another way, but sometimes that's actually less comfortable for people, so you'll have to try. You can kind of see.
Oh, you can do both.
Yeah, you can do both hands under if that's easier. Yeah, that's very creative. Is that easier? Well, it's not for everybody, though, seriously.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just as weird.
It's just as weird. Okay. Well, yeah, it's going to get weirder. So cross your right knee over your left. Go slow. Yeah, and of course it doesn't matter because we're going to do both sides.
Yeah.
You don't actually have to get it right. As long as you know sort of what you're doing. Yeah, okay. Now, feel what happens as you let your knees fall a little bit to the... So you've got... Yeah, so it's always towards the top leg, so we'll go that way. And just feel how far... It will be a different movement right now, right? Because you actually are stopping the movement, aren't you? By having your hands there. Stops it a little bit. It also brings some awareness there.
Yeah.
And then come back.
It feels.
You don't have to know. You can just feel it again. So feel it again and feel. And there are parts of you that are able to turn more easily and other parts that are not able to turn right now. Yep. Of course, you're free because you're off your hands. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, nice. But your shoulders are kept still, too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So feel what happens with your shoulders and your upper ribs. And, of course, like if you were listening to this later and you didn't know, it really depends on how you have your hands under you, what is made easier and what is made more challenging. Good. Uncross your legs. Give yourself a little bit of a break. Take your hands out under. You can rest with your feet standing. So, if you bring your hands across your low ribs, there is this thing that happens. Yeah, and actually you can do it like that on the other side and see what happens. let's do that. So just bring your hands to the front of your low ribs, like, to the right and left and right where they separate from your sternum. And then cross your left over right this time. And feel what happens in here. And you can let your knees fall to the left and feel that you're not letting this part go. So you'll have to stay small, right? Because if you go big, yeah, that's right. So give yourself, it's like your ribs are in a corset now. Then, yeah, then where does the turn and twist and lengthening have to come from? Yeah, it's constrained to only everything below your hands, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now move your hands a little bit up. Good. And then you can just use them as sensing tools, or you can actually hold and then let your knees go and see what happens. Let your knees fall a little bit and yeah. And then come back.
You just end up using your hips more.
And now help your ribs do what you think that they do when they are helping you twist. So maybe you're, yeah, that's pretty good.
And your right ribs, if your knees are falling to the left, your right ribs are going to actually elongate. Yeah. So there's also this happening. The brains go a little bit there. There's that happening.
Oh.
Yeah, there's actually, it's a side bend that makes the twist also happen. So there's like, it's like a tiny little side bend. So the, as your knees go left, your right side gets longer, your left side gets a little shorter, and then, yeah, and then your whole body begins to lengthen, and then you come back. Isn't that interesting? Like, because in your mind's eye, right, you'd imagine that we're just rolling.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's very interesting, which is why playing with the different angles of movement can sometimes light up something inside, and you're like, oh, wait a second. Like,
yeah.
I just had the... a different idea that wasn't quite working for me.
Okay, uncross your legs. And rest with your legs long. Pause. Just have a nice deep rest. Carry your rest is full body too. Excuse me. The same thing, just like it's true when you find that with twisting, letting your knees fall to one side, there's a little bit of a lengthening and a shortening. That happens in your neck too. So when you roll your head to the right, one side of your neck gets a little tiny bit shorter and the other side gets a little bit longer. And it might be easier to sort of imagine a braid if you've ever had long hair or you've seen braided rope even, and that if you twist a braid, you know, you can see that one side like flexes around and then the other side sort of gets tight, and one side's tighter, one side's looser as you turn, and then when you turn the other way you can find that. Do you feel that inside a little bit? Kind of a mystery, isn't it?
I know, it's possible.
It's possible. And then when you are willing, let your eyes, it's like you imagine your horizon and you have a soft focus so that you're not really worried about picking out the details, but you're allowing your gaze to be receptive and just invitational. So it's like as though you were spacing out, looking up at the sky, you would just gather what you gather and you're not worried. And then let your eyes go right and then find the middle and go left.
So open.
You can have them, even with your eyes closed, you can still imagine the same thing.
Oh.
So really you could do both, Ingrid. Do once with your eyes closed and once open. And because it's different, actually. You either have your imaginational, you know, horizon, or you can actually follow the ceiling, and that's kind of an interesting thing. And notice what happens in your throat, neck, spine, underneath you. And sometimes the way that there's a sensation, it can be like just an onness or a awakeness to our system, like the telephone lines are buzzing a little. Yeah. And then try with your eyes open if you haven't. Have you? I can't remember. You can scan the ceiling. And you might see there's a spider in one.
He's a very gentle house spider, though, so I thought he could stay.
You're so nice to let him stay.
I don't let them all stay, but they really like that corner.
I like the lamp, and that lamp I keep on all the time, so I think it catches all the flies. And they come in and they take care of the room for us. Do you find it's a little easier with your eyes at the end of the lesson than it was in the beginning?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. There's still a little bit of, like, tightness going on.
Yeah.
But just, like, in general.
Yeah.
But not with my eye movement. That's interesting.
That's cool. And then roll to your side and take your time and come up to standing.
I love everything.
So
I know.
Really,
this is actually, it's like, sometimes it is better to just have full on rain, not the drizzle.
Oh, I know.
So
nice.
Yeah. As you stand, take a moment in standing.
Of like the sensation of rolling your head right and left. Of course, now when you're off the ground, you have a lot more ability to use the rest of yourself in a way that supports that.
Yeah, and then take a walk. It's amazing how I am getting more and more used to this feeling.
Yeah, totally. Oh, it's familiar. Feeling good and centered and neutral and aligned, like that's a good place to be, and it's familiar.
Yeah.